Hello, everybody. Thanks again for joining us here at Storm Champ. My name is Kim Wozlowski, your host this week. We have Sam Santeas here joining us. Welcome to share his story, a little bit about what's been going on in his life the last several years leading up to what you may have read a little bit on his own social media, Fit at 40. As you may know, Storm Champ is a passion project of ours, and it's a show where we take a look at how everyday people are dealing with life's ups and downs, focusing on resiliency by sharing real stories from real people about what they're doing to help themselves get through some of life's storms. So as I said, Sam Santeas, thanks so much for joining us this week. If you want to just give us a little intro, tell us about yourself.
Hi, so my name's Sam. Thanks for having me, Kim. I'm excited to be here. And last September, I turned 40. And probably about 2 years before that, you know, I mean, Kim and I, we go back to college days, you know, over 20 years ago and about 20 years ago. And, you know, as this big 40-year kind of deadline was looking me in the future, and I had some family challenges and some health things on both sides, you know, my mom's side of the family and also on my wife's side of the family. And just, you know, things came up and life comes up, and just decided I wanted to make some changes. So I'm just glad to be here and kind of talk a little bit about that.
Yes. Awesome. Well, let's get into it then. What is it about 40? Right? This is a big number for all of us as we reach closer and closer to that age. But what do you think it is about that number, about that age, that really kind of gets us shook?
You know, I don't know. I think it's the first time thinking about the first time you've got to think about prostate health, maybe not for you, Kim, but for some of us. I mean, it is a big marker out there, right? You talk about when your metabolism slows down, when just life gets, you're getting older. Where are you in your career? Where are you health-wise? You know, do you have kids? How old are they? Are they behaving? So there's just so many different things that kind of hit you that people try to evaluate at 40. And so for me, I think I try to think about it a couple years in advance to be like, I'm coming on to 40. So let me think about some goals I could set, you know, before I'm 39 and 11 months to decide how I want to tackle 40.
Mm-hmm. What were your preconceived notions of what 40 would be like? You know, for me, I remember thinking that 30-year-olds were so old. Like, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to have a house. I'm going to be married. I'm going to write 6 books. Like, you know, 40 seems like another one of those markers. So what were some preconceived notions you had about that age?
Oh, you know, I think, I mean, I definitely thought I would own a much cooler car by now. You know, but I do think, you know, you do, as you're younger, you think 40 is old. And then now I look back, like now that I'm 40, I'm like, this is not old. Like 65 is maybe old. And so we'll see how I behave when I turn 65. But I definitely thought, you know, if you would have asked me when I was 30, what I would be doing when I was 40, and it definitely wouldn't be, you know, like training for a triathlon or in as good a shape as I was in high school, or that, you know, this Saturday I had my daughter's high school graduation. So I wouldn't have even put some of those things in perspective. So it's been nice to kind of be able to, one, charge at it and then kind of go through it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's a lot of things that kind of come up around you, right? The fringe of your life starts to really come into focus as you get older and older. And you mentioned a little bit about, in your intro, family and some challenges that maybe you've gone through on the fringe of turning 40. Can you speak a little bit more about some of those more impactful experiences as you were getting into your later 30s and facing 40? What was it that really stuck out around you that was happening?
Well, I think specifically health-wise, right, as we talk fit at 40, and it had all happened slowly. You know, in my late 20s, I started running less and started gaining weight. You know, in my early 30s, you know, I'd gained weight and I could barely run. My back would hurt. And, you know, I just kind of figured like, hey, you know, I'm getting old. And little by little, all those things just started to just stack up on me. You know, it was every other year getting another bigger size pair of pants. Every year it was thinking about like, oh, I don't want to get my cholesterol check done. So just little by little. And then I think once I just saw like, I'm going to live another 40 years, right? So how are those next 40 years going to be? And how does what I do now make a difference? And that's where I kind of decided that I really wanted to jump in and figure out that 40 needed to be one of the best years of my life.
Mm-hmm. When you think back, even if it was a year ago or 6 years ago or 20 years ago, were there role models, older male role models around the age of 40 that you kind of aspired to be like, or was that sort of a missing piece in that forward facing thought?
You know, not thinking age wise, but on my mom's side, my uncle Ed, so my mom's brother, is one of those that he was always in great shape. You know, he was running marathons when he was, you know, the age I am now, which when I was a kid, you know, I thought was ancient. And so, you know, I always thought of those, and it's part of also what played into when I started thinking about getting healthier. You know, it was my Uncle Ed when he was a little older than I am now, but you know, he ran 10 miles in Denver, Colorado, and got winded and went into the doctor, and a week later was having a bypass surgery. And he had just run the Boston Marathon earlier, you know, and so he was in great shape and doing all those things. And I realized, like, you know, this is in my family. I've got to figure out what I'm going to do if I'm going to try to be healthier. And if that happened to my Uncle Ed, I mean, imagine what could happen to me if I wasn't doing anything about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, did you grow into understanding your family's health history just kind of naturally, or did something sort of surprise you as you started coming up with symptoms or noticing other people kind of with their failing health or whatnot?
I mean, one of the big ones is, you know, we've had some just tragedy in the family. You know, father-in-law passed away from a heart attack. You know, my mom's side has, you know, a lot of different heart disease issues. And so I just looked at one by one and just said, I've got to figure this out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, that's a difficult thing to have to deal with regardless of where you're at in your own personal journey, but it takes something really impressive, something really special to commit to, like, the process, the journey of bettering yourself without becoming sort of, what's the right word? Like, stuck in the fear, right, of what could or didn't happen. So let's sort of focus a little bit on the motivation to continue with that process. You know, day one in the gym, on the track, whatever it is the hardest thing. The first step, right, is always the hardest. So can you think back to the first couple of weeks of this Fit at 40 journey and tell us a little bit about what that was like?
You know, I would say, as I thought about, like thinking about the early phase, it's important that you've got, you know, you think about where your pitfalls are going to be, right? So I really thought about, so as I do this, what are going to be the challenges? And so, you know, and then playing defense from the beginning. So, you know, the key part was, you know, having my family involved, right? So having my wife know that, you know, that if I'm not up for the gym, she should know to remind me. I keep snoozing my alarm to just say, hey, you know, and to not feel like she was like badgering me about it or whatever. And so, you know, that really helped. And then, you know, from the diet standpoint, without getting into all the details of that, you know, it was really thinking about, I travel a lot for work, and knowing that's something that people struggle with, that I actually made it a focus that I'm going to be healthy when I travel for work. I maybe wasn't as healthy at home as I always needed to be, but I would think, like, when I'm on the road, I'm going to be healthy. And so I really thought about some of those, the early challenges, and thought of how do I solve those right away? Because those, I think, are where people stumble first. So I addressed those first and then expanded it the other way.
Yeah, definitely. So what are some tips and tricks you have for on the road? I mean, you know, continental breakfast, fast food, and, you know, all the goodies at receptions and things. I mean, I have an idea of the travel that you do and sort of the areas in which you do your work, but, like, what worked for you? What cheats and what tips and tricks did you use to stay on track?
So I was pseudo keto, right? So I went really low carb, almost kind of Atkins-like. I also just kind of did some things that I like. And so a couple things that I thought was interesting was that, especially when you travel a lot, you try to be on a budget, right? And so I work for myself when I travel. So it's my money. And you catch yourself doing things like, oh, I don't want to spend $3 on that because it's expensive. I'd rather spend $2 on this junk because it's cheaper. And I realized, like, I'm like, it's a dollar, you know, like, it's a dollar difference. And I could get something that's better for me. Like, instead of getting this crap, I could get a thing of yogurt. Instead of eating that, I could get a thing of nuts. And so that's where I really started thinking one step at a time. Whereas in the past, I would have said, like, it's just one thing, you know, And so now I looked at it as more like, it's just one thing. I've got to spend the extra dollar here, or, you know, I've got to cut this thing out. It's just one thing. So I thought about it almost in reverse, because when you're traveling, I think people make it easy to say like, well, it's on the road, I'm going to do that. And so those are the kind of things. And so just really spending even the extra 5 minutes in the snack aisle at a Speedway gas station to say, let me compare these two things and go, I'm gonna eat this one instead of that one. Mm-hmm. That made to me a big difference. And sometimes that helps count, 200 to 300 to 500 calories out of your diet for the day. That makes a big difference.
Yeah, definitely. So are you the type of person who was like reading labels and marking down things? How did you organize all these details?
So I wasn't good about, so I will tell people like, don't always do what I do, right? But I mean, I didn't write everything down, but I would just try to think about it throughout the day, right? So to think, if I know I've got a client dinner on the road and I'm probably going to be at a restaurant and, you know, it's going to be pickier in the morning, I'm going to have just a cup of yogurt and a banana, right? So I'm going to earn my calories in the morning and I'll spend them at night. So those kind of things are the ways that I would just mentally kind of plan it. And I also think it's important to think about it per day. So a lot of people think about those things like per week, or, you know, like I have their cheat day or whatever. But for me, I would think about it over the whole day. Like I have one meal per day when I'm not going to be perfect. And I'll have a couple meals per day when I'm really going straight up just, you know, protein. And I would do that, and I would develop kind of the things that I like and know where I could get those things.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about the involvement of your family being really important in the process of you kind of shifting gears and really focusing on your fitness and your health as you came to 40. How has this process changed them alongside of you?
I don't know if it's intentional or not, but like my youngest daughter, Maddie, she eats her hot dogs without a bun. I'm not sure if that's just like, she just thinks it's clever, or she does that because that's what I do or not. I think all kids love cheese, and being low carb, you eat a lot of cheese. So I think in a little bit, it was those conversations. Now my kids do, I think it's also what I kind of like about this process is I work out a lot more. I run. And so I talk to them about like, that was hard to do. Like last summer, it was my first, like I did a, you know, 14 mile run. And to have that conversation with them about like, you know, tomorrow morning, Poppy's going to do a 14 mile run and I've never run that far. And then when I was done, to kind of celebrate. So I think it helps them see that, like I set a goal of something I was going to try to do. And then I did it. It's also a good lesson for them. We'll see how well that pays off for them in the future. But I think that, and they saw that. So they saw the struggle. And I think it's important for I think people in general nowadays don't learn a lot about grit or about trying or about understanding that things are hard and they'll be difficult. And so I think I've more than just the fitness or like the weight or, you know, fitness part of it has been to show them that grit.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I'm going to pry a little bit, because I know you're two youngest, but then you have your oldest daughter. You said she just graduated high school. So she remembers you back in college days a little bit and all of that stuff. So she's got to have a little bit more of a reaction to the new you. And is there anything that you've gleaned from her and what she's seen throughout your process?
I don't know. That may be a better question to ask her. Uh-huh. I do know, you know, she's moving up to Grand Rapids soon, so she'll be up there in your area. But yeah, you know, I think once again, it's the same kind of conversation, you know, in terms of things, not everything's easy to do. Yeah. And so I think sometimes you also get this fab, you know, she's a teenage girl, right? So she thinks about, you know, going to art school in New York, right? Because that's like, sounds like it's like everybody's magical fantasy, right? But that's hard work, right? Like, you've got to struggle and you got to work hard, you know, like, and I think it's that same thing I'm trying to show her that, yeah, I mean, I wanted to lose 50 pounds and I wanted to feel great at 40. And that didn't take just wishing about it or dreaming or that thinking this would be fun, was going to make it happen, that it took a daily regimen of doing this and pushing. And we have those conversations, like even talking about her planning for college is that, you know, how different college classes will be. And she's going to have to want things, and she's gonna have to work for them themselves, and that no one's gonna advocate for her but her. And the same thing, like for me to get healthy, no one was going to do it for me, right? No one was going to ride the spin bike for me. No one was going to, you know, take tortilla chips out of my mouth. So I had to do it myself. And I had to decide how I was going to do those things. So I hope that translates to her to being responsible and being successful.
Yeah, I can imagine it well. Yeah. So when you think about the journey and everything that you've been going through, what has been one of the most surprising pieces of it all? Something unexpected. I mean, I know like when you are focusing on your diet or trying to reduce calories, losing weight is the goal. And maybe you're surprised somewhere along the line of that, or gaining strength in an area that maybe you didn't think you were working out so much or trying to focus on. Like, what is something that you were like maybe pleasantly surprised about in this journey?
Pleasantly surprised. I like wearing tank tops more than I ever thought I would. I was like, how
does your ass look great in jeans? Like, how are you feeling about yourself, right? You know,
what I was worst surprised at, or least surprised, or least delighted about, was having to buy all new clothes. That was not fun. But I think for me, really, I think just feeling good about doing daily activities, you know, like being able to run up a couple flights of stairs. And I make those decisions all the time now. I rarely take elevator. If it's more than, you know, 3-4 flights, I'll take an elevator. Anything less, I take the stairs. And then also just like when I get to the top of those, like that feels good, you know, like that was good. Not just because I'm getting my steps in, but because like I don't feel like I'm going to die. and so like those things are probably what has delighted me, maybe more than anything. And so I've enjoyed that. What I didn't enjoy when I first, so I had my biggest weight loss was probably from like October to February of when I was 39. And mm-hmm. I was literally doing about 8 pounds a month at that point. So I was grinding pretty hard, and it was wintertime. So in February, I actually had somebody pull me aside, and it was my old boss. And she pulled me aside and goes, "Sam, are you sick?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "What?" And like literally she's like, you know, people are talking and people are worried that you're sick because I'd lost so much weight. And I was like, "Oh my God, no, I've just been like super working hard at this." So that was probably the least favorite part, that ended up buying new clothes.
Yeah. It's funny how other folks on the outside, the reaction, right, to something, whether it's your commitment to the journey, or it's the showing of the hard work and all this other stuff. It's a lot of times the validation or the questioning from the outside that really makes you take pause and say, what am I doing and why am I doing this? Right. And so during those times, or even just generally when, you know, those mornings when you didn't want to get up and all that other stuff, what is it that kept you motivated? Obviously having family and like health concerns and things like that, but is there anything else that kept you motivated?
I think thinking about family was probably the biggest motivator. What I think helped, you know, myself pace myself was setting lots of little goals. Okay. You know, and I'll be honest, I never set out to lose 50 pounds. I set out to lose 15, maybe 20. Mm-hmm. And so I just set small goals to say, like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to expect this result and I'm going to do this to get it. And so, cause it was diet and exercise. And so, you know, then once I started like, oh, I got there, let's do another 5, or let's do this. Or what if I stopped putting sugar in my coffee? Or what if I did this, what would happen? And so for me, it was also gradual. So that's what I've told other people I've given advice to. You know, I didn't cold turkey stop sugar in my coffee and stop eating carbs and boom, 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 boom. All the things that I'm a pretty regular part of my diet now. I did kind of one thing at a time, started working out, saw results. And so I was like, well, let's chuck another thing on the no list. Mm-hmm. And so that is, I think what kept me motivated was I feel like I also didn't like jump off a cliff and try to do it. I think I eased myself down the mountain, mm-hmm. a little bit at a time. And then now I maintain by, you know, also moderation, but I maintain by trying to keep that as a regular part of my life. So that's part of, I think, helped me be successful little by little.
Sure. That makes some sense. How about those moments and times where you maybe took a couple back steps? Did that ever happen in your process?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And how did you fend against that?
So it's still hard to say. So I've got kids, right? So they always want junk food, and it's still hard to say no to like Friday night pizza. And so I think that's also just part of, you know, having a good week means let's do this or that. And so I think I would learn to kind of trade off. I think that's where people like old school Weight Watchers people get successful. I could see that, right? Because you're like, well, I'm going to stack up my chips for the end of the week. And I would kind of do that, or I would do it one day and say, okay, well, for the next 3 days, I got to be really good. And so I think it's also not beating yourself up about it. I'm generally, you know, a pretty upbeat person, but it's where I've told some of my friends who will easily kind of beat themselves up about stuff to say, look, man, it's one day. But if you do that every week, it's going to be bad, right? So, yeah. So I think those kind of things are what help prevent some setbacks by just saying, like, look, I'm either gonna earn a cheat, or I'm gonna, you know, pay back a cheat. And so those are ways to still make it manageable and still do fun stuff.
Sure. Outside of your family, did you have any accountability partners or anyone that was kind of coaching you along that made a big difference?
A local trainer friend of mine, when I turned 39, did a training session with me and gave me a bunch of suggestions. But from a daily level, that would have probably helped even more. It's those couple months when I was really grinding, I had a friend that would, you know, be regularly at the gym. But it's not like they checked up on me, but I do think that that's something I recommend to other people. For me, I started going to the same gym every day at 5:30. I think my accountability was that they would normally say something to me if I missed a couple of days, which usually meant I was traveling. Right? I was on the road, you know, but I almost felt like I had to explain it to the folks at the gym to be like, okay, let me tell you guys why I wasn't here. And I think that helped by just having that regular schedule. So I could know, like Mondays, it's free coffee at the gym on Mondays. So like, I never miss a Monday.
Of course.
Because I'm at cheap, right? I want to get my free coffee. So like things like that, I think are ways that I helped, you know, not necessarily with accountability, but with routine, and I trained my body to do it.
Sure. Yeah. So let's zoom back to those days of grad school, right? Let's zoom back and tell young Sam what he should have maybe known about life and things. What would you tell younger Sam in those years?
So two big ones that I would say, and I've used this advice for other people. So I was one that never went to bed early, and never thought things like how much I slept or what I ate would impact me. And now, especially now that I'm, you know, doing more activities and I'm planning hopefully to be able to do a triathlon this summer. I literally, if I wanted to run in the morning, if I go to bed literally 45 minutes later than I plan to go to bed, I know I'm going to be 20 seconds a mile slower. Like it's just, there's just no way around it. And so then I realized like, oh man, all those times in college when I was up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning working on something. And then the next day I was like, oh, I'm a night owl. I'm just fine. You know, I might've been awake and doing things, but I wasn't what I could have been had I had an extra 2 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. And so that I've realized makes a big difference. And the same thing with eating. When I've had a really, really good week, in terms of staying on course, eating the things that I should be eating, last summer I was doing long Saturday runs. And if I had a good week, my Saturday run was phenomenal. Same thing. If I slept good all week, my Saturday run was phenomenal. The easy 3-4 mile runs during the week weren't as impacted, but that's where then I looked back at, you know, 20 years of not sleeping well, not eating well. I can imagine, you know, how much more I could have produced or been able to do had I been healthier and better all those years.
Sure. Sure. Oh, the things we would tell our younger selves, huh?
Exactly. I was such an idiot.
No, for sure. Definitely. I mean, I think that, looking ahead, you know, and wondering what 60 will be like, what 70 will be like, that's like, we're in a really lucky space to even be able to dream that, right? I mean, that's a privilege point in and of itself. So knowing all the statistics and understanding our family health history and all sorts of things, it makes it more of a liberating factor to choose conscious, positive choices for our betterment in the future. At least that's been the case for myself as well. So
yep.
I hear a lot of that in your story.
Yes.
What about sharing your story with others is so important for you? I know you have a blog you've been kind of keeping up with and sharing folks along the way. And you've mentioned several times on our call tonight that you sometimes speak to others about this and where they're at. What about sharing your journey or your story is so important to you?
I think I was surprised. So like a couple things. Well, one, I actually put my first blog out when it was my former boss told me that she thought I was sick, right? So I was like, let me put a blog out so people know. And I had literally is one of the most popular blogs I'd ever put out. And I'm not an Uber blogger or anything. And so I was just like, oh, wow, like people really wanted to read that. And so, and people were all asking, like, well, how did you do it? So I was like, well, I'm no, you know, best-selling author, but yeah. So then I did another blog that just said, here's how I did it, the meals. And then I did another blog called, here's how I did it, the workouts. And then I've done a few updates since then on just kind of progress or whatever. And so I think it's important for people to see, like, I've got a regular job and I've got kids and all those things versus, you know, you've got that stay-at-home parent who's, you know, selling some internet product from home and telling you about how great it is. You know, it's hard to relate to that person, regardless of whether that product's good or not, right? And so I think I was just kind of saying, like, look, I'm not selling you anything. And I'm just like you are. I work, you know, 40 plus hours a week and I'm chasing kids and I'm doing all that. And I can do this. So that means you could do this too. And so people, I connected with that. And then somehow I just became like the person people asked about, like, you know, I use the triple zero yogurt. So people are always asking me, like, oh, you eat those yogurts. What do you think about these yogurts? I'm like, I have no freaking idea about yogurt. I just know I like these and they work. And I would tell people about what things in the labels I would look at. And so it was interesting that, you know, I almost became, you know, in a small circle, an expert on some things. And I just got the chance to kind of tell people what I thought worked and didn't work. And they listened. And I think I've had several people mention to me, you know, that it's worked. The one that I found really interesting that I didn't realize, and surprising how many people watch your social media that don't like it or comment on it. Because I get people that I don't even realize follow me saying, like, hey, I saw you were doing this the other day. And I was just like, no, you know, or like, congratulations on that 5K time the other day. And I was like, what? You know, like, you didn't even like that post. I didn't even know you followed me. You know, so I think things like that where you see there's a lot of people out there that are just looking at stuff. They're not even engaging. And so I think that's also why it's important to put stuff out. You know, it might not get 500 likes, but there could be four or five people that read it and go, like, if that dude can do it, I can do it too.
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's several circles that we kind of share in terms of community and stuff like that. And so just wondering where you hope to kind of take your gospel of Fit at 40 next. I mean, I know you've kind of put it out there to the masses, but do you have any hopes or aspirations for what your journey can do for others?
Oh, man, I haven't thought about that. My joke is, so talking about circles we live in. So I work in the Latinx community here in South Bend. And so I joke, like, one of the reasons I gained all this weight 6 years ago was when I, you know, started working in the Little Mexico and was eating carbs on top of carbs, dipped in carbs, scooped with carbs for breakfast, lunch. I know, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, but now, you know, a couple weeks ago, I ordered a dozen tamales and I asked the lady that makes the tamales, I was like, can you make these low carb, just a little bit less masa on these tamales? And she was like, well, yeah, I can totally do that for you. And so, like, I would have never asked somebody that years ago to be like, can you make low-carb tamales? But she did that, and it was awesome. And I'm actually getting a dozen in a couple weeks. And so, you know, things like that are, you know, also thinking about, like, the circles you're in. Or my one joke, you might have seen this one on social media when I shared it, but my favorite little taqueria, the little taco restaurant here in South Bend that I like, I'd been getting I get burritos there all the time. And lately I just cut the top open. You know, they come cut in half. You know, I just cut the top open. I eat out of it. I don't eat the tortilla, right? So one day she goes, can I just bring you this without a bring you this as a salad? And I was like, whoa, you can't bring me. I can't order this as a salad. I said, she's like, how about I just bring it to you without a tortilla? I was like, oh yeah, you can bring me a burrito without a tortilla. That's fine. Just don't bring me a salad. And so she just looked at me and walked away and brought me a burrito sin tortilla, which is a burrito without a tortilla. So I feel better ordering it. And, you know, so half of me is kind of like, how do you try to incorporate things that could still be cultural and delicious, but be a little bit healthier in terms of either like what type of cheese is in it or what kind of carbs or things like that to help make it a little bit healthier, but still be delicious.
Yeah, that's definitely an intersection in my mind, trying to be authentic to yourself and your culture and your history without playing the hipster card or playing the like foodie card too much, right? So sounds like you feel pretty authentic in the fact that you haven't lost anything in your world, but you've just been able to modify certain things and make it a little bit more on point to your goals.
Yep.
Have you gotten any resistance from anybody? Like, does your family try to carbo load you up every time they get a chance? Or like, how does it work with the inner circles of that space?
Oh, my mom would make me eat carbs every second of the day if she could. I still remember last day, there maybe two trips ago when they were visiting, we went to my local brewery here and I ordered a hamburger. And, you know, I'm a regular there, so they brought it to me without a bun. I didn't even ask for it without a bun, right? Mm-hmm. And they just kind of serve it on like a bed of salad, right? And my mom was like, no, he needs the bun. And I was just like, wow, that's fine. So I think, you know, I think parents legitimately worry. But it's also like, I think what's interesting, because I was so heavy, the fact that I'm not, you know, crazy skinny, right? I'm actually 3 pounds under my BMI right now, right? So it's not like I'm like skinny guy. But because of the drastic change, people see it drastically, which I also then sidebar joke, you know, with like my friends who've always been skinny. I was like, you know, I get a lot of kudos from people for having lost all this weight. No one ever congratulates you for just always being healthy.
Right.
You know, like no one's ever like, good job on all 40 years of your life being healthy. But for me, it's like no one's like saying like, man, you really let yourself go. And then you corrected it. Good work. Right. So I think I appreciate that people don't point that out to me. But it is where I think because I had lost, you know, 50, almost 60 pounds at peak, a lot of people almost thought like something was wrong, or that I needed to start eating carbs or something, and didn't understand my diet. But, luckily my mom's more accepting now.
That's good. Yeah. Well, so we've made it over the hump. We've made it to 40 and on. Sounds like a journey you're still committed to, still working hard at it. Is there anything that we can look forward to kind of watching with you in the next year, 5, 10 years? Is there another goal on the horizon?
Well, I think this is also what's helped me with like goal setting has been, once again, right? Like little goals or setting something else, or also like once you've hit something, have the next thing, right? Because I think a lot of people are like, oh, I hit a weight goal and then now I just go back to doing everything I want. And then next thing you know, you lost it all or it's back all or whatever. And so my new thing is I'm thinking about doing a triathlon, not fully committed because I really hate the swimming part. but thinking about like, what's the next thing I could do? And setting goals for myself, you know, like I ran a really good 10K time at an event last year. I'm going to be at the same event this year. I'd like to target beating that. So I think little different things like that, that give me an opportunity to try to say, you know, like, this is my next goal. You know, and also letting go of some goals. So I always joke, you know, with some of my folks that, that know me well around here, I really wanted abs. Like I really thought once I got there, I was like, I'm going to have abs. I've never really had abs, even when I was a peak high school athlete. And I've given up, like, it's just not gonna happen. It's just not in the cards for me. And that's okay. Right.
It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you see Ruiz that just won that heavyweight boxing title belt, right? I mean, like, I'll take that body. And so I think I also had to let that go to say like, that would have been a goal that I would have set, but it's probably not going to happen for whatever reason. It's just not in me. But you know what, I'm going to do this other thing instead. And so I'm not letting that discourage me. And I'm going to focus on something else.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, we're kind of wrapping up on time here for our talk today, but I guess I'll leave you with one last question in terms of that piece you were talking a little bit about, grit and resiliency, similar-minded idea, and somewhat true to the point, it's hard to find an example of how to facilitate that in today's world without really being dedicated to the process. And so when you think about maybe your kids or the younger generations and folks who are have the opportunity to kind of stay on the right foot as they're in their younger years and building into whatever age, let's say 40, what would you encourage folks to start to understand at a younger age so that by the time that they are looking ahead to a milestone like 40. They're ready to really engage in that self-work.
I think, and I do this a lot, especially with my son. So my 8-year-old that likes playing sports, you know, it's an easy sports analogy to use, but you know, he wants to be good at baseball, right? And so I really try to talk to him about what that takes, and that it's practice and dedication, that it doesn't take just wanting to be good at something. And he has to set himself up to focus on it and work hard at it. And that it's got to be a daily task. And so I've really tried. I think this process has helped role model that a little bit, hopefully for him. But I do try to have those intentional conversations with my kids about things like, you know, advocating for themselves, setting goals for themselves, figuring out how you push through hard things. And that some things are hard because they're going to teach you how to work through them. And some things are hard because maybe it's what you're not supposed to be doing, right? And so and the trick is being able to know the difference. And so trying to teach them that, and this journey has been, I think, a good way for me to personally expose my vulnerability to them so they can see where things are hard for me, but that I did it. And where some things, you know, I decided to change a goal or a focus because of either something I don't enjoy or doesn't work, or I have a different thing that I want to accomplish. So I think that's important. I think that's something that I'd share with, you know, anybody who's doing a journey like this. And I think it's important also too, it's part of where what's important with good goal setting. I think had I started off this journey saying, I'm going to lose 60 pounds, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, I probably would have been like, oh, and after like a month, I'd be like, yeah, I'm done. And so it was like incremental. I want to be here. I want to be there. And some of my goals were very just minor. Like I want to be able to run up a couple flights of stairs without feeling like I'm going to pass out. And then once I got there, I felt like, okay, good. Now this means I got something that feels tangible to me. And now I can go to the next thing. And so I think that grit is about understanding the value of the small steps, because if not, it's hard to keep yourself motivated. But also knowing what that end picture looks like for you, whether it's a task accomplishment, some type of goal, that you can get there.
Yeah, I agree. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us this afternoon and, you know, telling us a little bit more about your journey. Congratulations on all the successes you've accomplished so far, and best of luck to the ones you're facing in the future. And I know we'll hear about it on your social media and such. And I can't wait to just congratulate you at that next step as well.
Excellent. I will see you sometime this summer.
Awesome. All right, Sam, thanks so much. We're going to sign off for this episode of Storm Champ. And until next time.
Thank you again. Oh.